can't talk very well today, and I know what you're thinking, but I'll have you know that I could not scream last night at the game because my voice was already gone. So I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet, and I try not to make those kinds of promises, but I certainly don't think you want to listen to this very long today. When Jonathan told me what he was singing about and he asked me what I was preaching about, I told him, I'm going to preach about church autonomy. And he said, that doesn't go with the songs at all. And so I don't know what else to say except I'm sorry, Jonathan. And maybe the fact that it's a short lesson, we can get back to singing great songs about our Savior and his life and remembering who he is. I do want to just very briefly with you today talk about local church autonomy. And that's kind of a big idea. The New Testament shows us that when God set up local churches, the way he set up local churches, his expectation was that they should be autonomous. And all that that word means, autonomous, simply means that they are self-governed, self-ruled, independent. This is evident from a number of places in Scripture. We could go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 or Acts chapter 13 and verse 23. And when we see local churches establishing elders or shepherds or pastors, they're always told to shepherd the church of God among you. Don't go out and try to control other local churches, but every local church should govern itself according to what they read in Scripture. We could add to that list of passages, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you. There is to be autonomy. There is to be self-governance. I think this is evident from the way churches behave in the book of Acts. For example, the church at Jerusalem didn't blindly accept things that were said or offered from the church at Damascus. For instance, in Acts chapter 9, when Saul came from Damascus to Jerusalem. But they confirmed facts for themselves. Why? Because they are autonomous. The church at Antioch didn't blindly accept things from the church at Jerusalem in Acts 15, when the great discussion about circumcision and law keeping came up. But they made sure that they had their own witnesses there. They made sure that they had their own people there to check out what was going on because they were autonomous. And I think this is evident, the fact that churches ought to be self-governed. I think this is evident from the fact that Scripture is completely silent about any kind of larger structure or organization existing above and beyond the local church. Local churches, I believe, are to be separate, independent bodies, each answering on their own to the authority of Christ the King. But that doesn't always jive with human wisdom, does it? Doesn't always seem like the best option. In fact, wouldn't it be more effective if we banded together with other local churches? If we pooled our resources, larger churches could help smaller ones out, and maybe we see some good that could happen in that kind of an arrangement. If we pooled our resources together, surely we could do more good in the community and in the world around us. And we see organization in the world around us, both secular and religious. And we see these large organizations having success doing the things that they do. Why doesn't the Bible instruct us to do that? Why doesn't the Bible tell us to pool our resources, to organize together with other churches, and work together in this? Why does the Bible consistently show a picture of local churches being independent, autonomous bodies? What I'd like to suggest to you this morning is that there is great wisdom in the pattern that we find in Scripture, that there is wisdom in being autonomous as local churches. In fact, what I want to do is I want to share five observations with you. These things aren't arguments in favor of autonomy. We can talk about arguments in favor of autonomy at another time. But I think what these suggest is that there is wisdom in autonomy. There is wisdom in local church self-governance. These things, these five things, are things that I've personally observed as I've worked with and among churches. And I hope that they resonate with you and you find that you've also observed these kinds of wise benefits that come from following the pattern that we have in Scripture. So I just like to list these five things for you. First is this: local church autonomy acts as a safeguard against widespread apostasy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, this is one of many places where Paul warns us that apostasy will come. Apostasy is just people falling away from the faith, rejecting the truth of God's word, and following after their own ideas. And we can clearly find instances of apostasy in history, and apostasy is sure to continue in the future. People are going to come to their own ideas, want to follow their own ideas of what is proper and improper. But when a local church submits to some larger organization, some convention or synod or whatever larger organization, some mega church structure, some parasite church structure, it becomes dependent on that relationship. And certainly there may be certain benefits enjoyed in that relationship. But what happens when that parent organization makes a decision contrary to Scripture? Well, one of two things has to happen at that point. Either the local church who has put itself in relationship with that parent organization has to follow suit or jump ship, right? That's one of the only two options. Here's my point. There is wisdom in refusing to be put in that kind of a situation. In fact, when we follow God's design, as we've laid out earlier in the lesson, where a local church is only dependent on Christ, it is not dependent on any other man-made organization, then it never has to follow the whims of that organization and that structure. God has shown us his wisdom in establishing local churches to be autonomous. Second observation, local church autonomy allows a single church to flourish without being held back by a stagnant whole. You ever noticed how oftentimes the larger an organization becomes, the slower it becomes? Perhaps the most ready illustration we have of this is our robust government, right? And maybe it's on my mind because I've seen too many campaign ads recently. But the fact of the matter is, we have a rather large government, and because of that, it's rather cumbersome and slow. In fact, it often feels impossible to get anything done under the weight of the bureaucracy of a large organization. But by maintaining autonomy in the church, by not allowing ourselves to be grafted into some larger man-made organization or mega church structure or anything like that, by maintaining autonomy as a local church, as God designed, a local church ensures that it will not be restricted by sloth-like organizations. When something pressing needs to be dealt with, it can be dealt with at the local level. When something needs to be changed, change can be made by the local church without concern of any other organization or bylaws or anything that comes with that. So again, I think God's design is full of wisdom. We need only to read the Bible as a local church and put into action what we see in Scripture, following Jesus as our only head. A third observation, just in terms of things that I find wise about God's design: the local church autonomy maintains the integrity of individual churches when other churches fall prey to sin and scandal. Every few years, it seems like there's some scandal in some religious body. Have y'all ever noticed that? So some religious organization has some sin come about or some scandal that they have to deal with, whether that be the Catholic Church in various scandals or the Southern Baptist Convention or the Mars Hill Mega Church or the Ravi Zacharias Ministry. I don't know if you're familiar with any of those scandals in particular. But religious organizations are not immune from scandal. Certainly, they're not. In these situations, though, and in others like them, many innocent people And many innocent churches are caught up in the scandal that really had nothing to do with it, other than their apparent guilt by association with that organization. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says that God expects his people to be above reproach. It's a qualification we often talk about in terms of elders, that elders, shepherds, pastors are to be above reproach. But 1 Timothy 5, 7 says that all of God's people need to be above reproach. That is, we need to behave in such a way and order ourselves in such a way and live not only as individuals, but as a local church in such a way that there is not a possibility of accusations sticking to us. And I find great wisdom in God's design. That by following God's design for local church autonomy, by maintaining our independence from larger organizations, we can maintain our integrity without being caught up in the scandals of others. Fourth, local church autonomy forces each church to handle its God-given responsibilities on its own. There are certain things that God expects his people to be doing at the local level. There are certain things God expects us to do as a group of people here. We learn in Scripture that local churches worked to spread the gospel. I would cite just as one example of that, Acts 13, where the church at Antioch sent men like Paul and Silas out to go preach the word. Paul and Barnabas, excuse me, in Acts 13, it's Paul and Barnabas, out to preach the word and spread the gospel. God expects the local church to be involved in evangelism. In Matthew chapter 18, God expects the local church to be involved in church discipline. You have a brother that sins against you, go and talk to that brother. And if he doesn't listen to you, take two or three with you. And if that doesn't work, God says, it becomes the church's responsibility to get involved and make sure that that discipline is carried out properly with love, with compassion, but as God expects. These are just two examples of the things that God expects us to do as local churches, but there's a host of other things. There are lots of things that God expects us to do together. However, I'm afraid what often happens, whether it is under the guise of stewardship or whether it's from a genuine attempt to be good stewards, I'm afraid what happens all too often is that our responsibilities are deferred to another congregation or to another organization. We say, well, we'll just send our money to them and let them do the evangelism. We'll just be a part of this larger organization or this larger church group or this larger mega church structure, and we'll let them do our work for us. When each church is autonomous, when each church is self-governed and independent, each church is forced to work on its own issues and obligations. And I think there's wisdom in that design by God. God's design sets up each church perfectly to do its own work. One last observation, and then we can sing more about our Savior Jesus and remember his death. The local church autonomy ensures that each church is being the most effective church it can be. And what I mean is this. The people in the best position to know what any given church needs is the leadership and the membership of that local church. What Bible studies would be most profitable for this congregation? What expediencies will edify us most in our worship to the Lord? How can evangelism be most helpful, most useful, most effective among us and in our immediate surrounding community? You know who's in the best position to answer those kinds of questions? Not some governing body in the Woodlands or in Houston or New York or Seattle, wherever else a governing body may be, or Vatican City or anything like that. Those who are in the best position to answer those kinds of questions are the leaders of this church who intimately know this group of believers, who know the challenges that we face. The people in the best position to answer these kinds of questions are the members of this church, who are living in this community and know the community and know what needs to take place in order to share the community, share the gospel with the community. So again, by following God's design, we put ourselves in a position to be successful in our community and among ourselves. I love when God designs things that seem maybe counterintuitive to us, and yet time and time again, it shows in practice that it is more valuable and more wise than anything that we could come up with. God's design is for each church to be autonomous, self-directed, self-governed, and independent, only answering to Christ. And there is a biblical case to be made for that, although we haven't made it completely this morning. What I want you to see, though, is that there is much wisdom behind God's design. And so we should work to maintain our autonomy because it's God's design, but also because God's design is superior to anything that we could possibly come up with. Now, because my voice hasn't been that great, we haven't spent a lot of time reading passages and certainly not talking necessarily about how to enter a relationship with Christ. We've talked more about what happens after that and how we kind of order ourselves and arrange ourselves as servants of Christ. But as is our custom, we're not going to leave this part of our worship without a chance for you to make things right in your life. If you know that you're not in a right relationship with God, if you know that there are things that you need to change, and if there's some way that we can help you with that, now is going to be the time in our worship where we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. We can assist you, pray with you, help you through that. Publicly right now, you're welcome to come and let us know how we can.